You know, what was interesting this morning, I moved to that invisible font out front to be beside the table when the youth give their, share their stories. Someone moved it back. Isn't that interesting? So often we make promises to our children when they're baptized. And then we set those promises aside. We forget the words, the sacred words that have bound us together as the covenant community of faith. So I'm going to ask the boys to move the pot back. Hey, can you help put that back up? Come in front of you all. And the reason I want the pot, put it kind of beside the table in front of where Sam is standing, when they share their faith stories, it will be crystal clear why I will want them standing behind the baptismal font. Because it is the very promises that the people of God made them when they are children, the faithfulness of those promises that we celebrate today. Thank you, guys. Our reading this morning is the third chapter of Ruth. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek a home for you, that it may be well with you? Now is not Boaz our kinsman, whose maidens you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes to go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she replied, "All that you say I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had told her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" She answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Spread your skirt over your maidservant, for you are next of kin." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, and that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of worth. And now it is true that I am a near kinsman, yet there is a kinsman nearer than I. Remain this night, and in the morning, if he will do the part of the next of kin for you, well, let him do it. But if he is not willing to do the part of the next of kin for you, then as the Lord lives, I will do the part of the next of kin for you. Lie down until the morning." So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the mantle you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and laid it upon her. Then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said, you must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law." She replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will still the matter today." May God bless the reading and hearing of His holy word. Last week, Naomi and Ruth thought that the tide had turned for them. Ruth had taken it upon herself to go out and glean in the field. God's providence, she met Boaz, one of her husband's relatives. And he provided for her by allowing her to glean in his fields and allowing her to come and eat with his manservants. And then he protected her as well. He told them not to molest her. And then when she went home and told Naomi all that had happened, that she had met Naomi, that Boaz, Naomi was ecstatic. She thought that their problems had been solved. Surely Boaz would marry them, one of them, and then would provide security for them. But you see, several weeks has passed between chapters 2 and chapter 3. In chapter 2, Ruth was out gleaning in the fields, providing food for she and Naomi, and life was good. But Boaz seemed to be hesitant. You see, Naomi thought that surely Boaz would perform his duty as the next of kin and marry either she or Ruth. But for some reason, that wasn't happening. Was he just a little bit slow on the uptake? You know, some guys are. What was his problem? Perhaps that was it. But as we find out, there was a lot more to it than that. But Naomi is not content to sit around and wait and see what happens. And so she comes up with this plan for Ruth. She tells her to wash herself, take a bath, put on perfume in your clothes, get all messed up, and then go to the man. What is this about? As we think about the language of her text, we have to remember how vulnerable Ruth and Naomi were. This plan was Naomi's way of taking matters into her own hands to provide for their survival. You see, their very lives were at stake. As widowers, they were very, very vulnerable. And how would they be provided for? What would they eat? Where would they live? Naomi is taking matters into her own hands. So she comes up with this plan. You see, weeks had passed, the gleaning season was over. It was time for winnowing. And so the men, the workers, gathered on the threshing floor, and they would throw the stuff up into the air, and the chaff, the wind would blow away. The grain would then fall to the ground, and they would take that, and that would provide for their meals for quite some time. So during this time of harvest was a time of merriment and celebration. And see, Naomi tells her to get all fixed up and then wait. Wait until Boaz has eaten his fill and had quite a bit to drink and is tired. And his defenses, perhaps, are a little bit let down. And then go to him. Ruth said, "All that you say, I will do." And so she went to Boaz, just as her mother-in-law had said, after he had eaten and drunk and he had laid down for bed. She went to him privately, see, at night. No one else would have known what was going on. But she went to him, and she uncovered his feet, and she lay down with him. Now, if you are thinking of this in terms of the ancient Near East and their times, you might be scandalized by this language. For to uncover one's feet, to lay down beside one, were euphemisms. This passage is filled with sexual innuendo. The language is very, very suggestive. Does it mean that what is suggested happened? Absolutely not. It doesn't mean that. Just because it's suggested doesn't mean that what is suggested actually happened. But what it does do is it highlights how risky this venture is. This plan is putting Ruth's name on the line. If she is discovered by the other men on the floor, the threshing floor, her reputation is gone. She has undermined any credibility and sense of dignity and worth that she had in the community. And by the way, it probably wouldn't look so good for Boaz either. But Ruth has a lot more on the line than Boaz. So Ruth takes this risk, and she goes to Boaz. And at midnight, he is startled. He said, "Who are you?" Notice the difference from last week when he said, "Whose are you?" Here in the cover of night, he asked, "Who are you?" And she says, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Spread out your skirt over your maidservant." Again, for someone living in the ancient Near East, they would recognize how scandalous this request is. This is like Sadie Hawkins on steroids. Y'all know what Sadie Hawkins is?
Yep.
Y'all know?
Yes.
Y'all know what Sadie Hawkins is? It's when the girls ask you the names. Not a bad idea, maybe. But in this time, that wasn't done. But she wasn't just asking him to dance. She was asking him to marry her. She was asking him to fulfill the role of next of kin. Now, what that meant was huge. She was asking Boaz to sacrifice everything that he had accumulated over his life, everything he had accomplished and achieved, the name he had in the community, everything to provide for her. Set it all aside, all that you have, all that you are, to take care of me and my mother-in-law. That's what she's asking him. And that will become clear next week as we talk about that, the risk of what she was asking Boaz to take. But how did Boaz respond? He tells her not to fear, "For I will do for you all that you ask. For my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of worth." Now the interesting thing is that this same word, worth, chayil in Hebrew, was used in chapter 2, verse 1 to describe Boaz. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of wealth. That word wealth could also be not just financial wealth, but wealth in terms of reputation, the name of worth, of valor. So the same word that describes Boaz in chapter 2, verse 1, in Hebrew is used to describe Ruth. She is a woman of worth. And yet here she is put all on the line. And Boaz. Now, another thing we want to remember about this. Remember the last couple of weeks of how I pointed out that when Ruth is described, she's always described as a Moabitess? Remember that? And remember that the Hebrews could not say the word Moabite without spitting. Because they didn't like Moabites. A good little Jewish boy did not grow up to marry a Moabite woman. That didn't happen. And the Moabites did not get along with their Jewish neighbors. They were always, always struggling one with the other. Yet in chapter 3, Ruth is not identified as a Moabite, but more so she is identified as a woman of worth, a woman of valor. And in saying this, Boaz has swept away all of the social structures and mores of this society. Their class distinctions, their race distinctions, all of that gone. He sees Ruth for who she truly is in God's eyes, not in the eyes of his society. It's huge. And so he makes this promise to her that he will take care of her. But he does recognize, because of there is someone who is in line before him to take care of them. You see, the closest relative was to perform this duty of the next of kin, to be their redeemer. And Boaz respects that. He says, tomorrow we'll sit down with the elders at the gate, and there we'll settle this. And then he will have the option of fulfilling his duty to Ruth and to Naomi. And notice that he has the option, it is his choice. But Boaz said, if he will not fulfill it, I will. Ruth and Naomi were desperate for their own survival, for their own protection, their own provision. And they sought a redeemer, one who would care for them. Ruth asked Boaz to spread out his skirt over her. In Hebrew, the same word for skirt is the same word for wings. For God desires to spread out his wings to protect and provide for us as people. Boaz is a man of valor, honor, and worth. And if the next of kin will not redeem Naomi and Ruth, he will, if he is able, if given a chance. We have a redeemer who surpasses Ruth and Boaz. In fact, a redeemer who is actually one of their descendants, who longs to care for us. And the question is not whether or not he is able. The question is whether or not we are willing. Are we willing to seek shelter under the wings of love of our Redeemer Jesus Christ? No matter what we may be experiencing, no matter what trial, no matter what tragedy, no matter what challenge, Jesus calls to us to seek shelter under his loving wings. There he longs to provide for us, to protect us, to help us to know his steadfast love. The question is not, is he able, but are we willing? Let us pray. There is a Redeemer of God, a Redeemer who longs to spread out his wings of love, to provide for us, to protect us from the storms of life. For your faithfulness, O Father, in sending your Son, our Redeemer, we offer you thanksgiving and praise. And we pray that you would touch our hearts, that we would set aside our own ambitions, our own pride, that we might seek shelter under thy everlasting wings of love. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. what we believe, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and buried, he descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended to heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you. mine starts out when I was baptized in Ohio, and then after that I moved to South Carolina, where I met friends, and my friends introduced me to this church, and that's where I began to go to Sunday school, and at Sunday school is where I began to know this guy.
We thank you that they have sought shelter beneath his wings and
and seek to follow him even now, for ways that you have used him to bear witness to his reign. We praise you as well, Lord. Thank you for the time that we celebrate today, as they are welcomed as full members, for family and friends, teachers and elders, members of many church families who have supported and loved them. We thank you and pray that you would continue to answer those prayers. And Lord, that you would continue to use us in ways that continue to teach and to mold and to transform these young lives. And Lord, thank you for the example that they are to us. May we never despise them for their youth, but may we look to them as examples of faith and of purity and of love. May we wonder and be in awe of the way that your power is at work in their lives and also through them as well. Thank you, O Lord, for them. For we love them so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Following worship, there are going to fellowship. I invite you all to greet their youth and also to ask them more about their souls and their faith stories.
Church.
praying together. Faithful, loving God, on this day we praise you for your faithfulness. As we celebrate your love of our confirmants, with joy we hear their faith stories, stories of your love for them, stories of the people who have surrounded them with faith, hope, and love throughout their days. Thank you for ways that you have kept your promises to them, the promises that we also made in their baptisms. Lord, thank you for the people in their lives who have helped them to know and follow Jesus. Thank you for parents and neighbors, Sunday school teachers, youth workers, and friends. Remind us, Lord, that today is not the end of their learning to be disciples of Jesus Christ, but an important stepping stone to the power of your Spirit instilled in them and also in every part in their church family. Love for you that is fed and nurtured through the study of sacred scripture. May every person in our congregation be open to being shaped and transformed into the image of Jesus Christ according to thy holy word. May we, O God, be your faithful people. May we be steadfast and true in our witness to the reign of Jesus Christ, our crucified Savior and risen Lord. We praise you, O God.
Hear our prayer.
God of grace and peace, we live in a world filled with chaos and suffering. The thought of a church being held by a gunman stops us in our tracks. And yet, as we pray for our brothers in Idaho and sisters, we affirm that your steadfast love is our source of comfort and hope. As in the story of Ruth, we learn that you often work in ways that take time. And so we ask that you would teach us to be patient as we deal with the trials and tribulations of a fallen world. Help us to be still and know that you are God, the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth. Instead of being consumed with our own wants or even our own struggles, open our hearts and our hands to reach out to one another in love so that we may share your peace. Teach us the beauty and the power of humble, loving service. We pray to you, O God. And God, we also pray for so many in our hearts and our lives for the need of thy healing touch. Today we pray for Margie, for Patty as she goes to be with her. We pray for Lenny's neighbor, Kim, and his time of loss and sorrow. May you use it to draw him beneath the wings of love of Jesus Christ. We pray for Shirley, Jay, Michelle, Doris, Paul, Jim, Ralph, Rachel, Ronnie, Mark, Denise, Charles, David, Terry, and Chip. We pray also for those whom we have not named, but who are precious in thy sight, O God. And we pray for brothers and sisters throughout the world who are ignored or forgotten, and who for many are invisible, but who are precious in thy sight. Be with our neighbors, O God, with the people we love, in ways to bring healing and hope through Jesus Christ. We praise you, O God.
Amen.
And now, O Lord, we join our hearts and voices, praying as Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, I call our ushers to receive their offering. Thank you. O God, our Father, great is thy faithfulness. All we have needed your hand has provided. That as we worship you, we offer you our gifts, the first fruit of our labors. Accept our offering and use it to bless your people with the joy of your salvation. Through our love for you and our sharing in the worship and mission of Jesus Christ, may our neighbors also come to experience and to come to know thy great faithfulness. May they come to seek shelter and refuge underneath the wings of thy love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Spirit be with you and those you love, both now and forevermore.